Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. Will Bauer is running the ship right now. And he brought in a bottle of Morgan. You're not 21 yet, I'm kidding. So, we have Danny Burke. He has escaped the studio to sit in next to me today. That's a freaking prideful thing. It's an honor for me.
It's a nice view.
It is. It's not 1,000 degrees.
That's
I've trapped
right.
you in the furnace in there, and we're loaded up, man. Plenty of Nebraska basketball to get into. We have a longtime Husker, a team captain, went to 3 NCAA tournaments and an NIT championship. Andy Markowski going to be with us in 1 hour. I want Andy's take on what is wrong with Nebraska basketball. Andy will tell us. Andy is very candid. Andy's smart. Andy survived Dan Dockich, for the love of God. So Markowski in 1 hour. Brandon Vogel next hour. Vogue's had an amazing story on, Nebraska is loading up with some skill guys. Yeah, the Njoku announcement at 7 o'clock, either a.m. or p.m., unsure, but it's a 7 o'clock announcement tomorrow for a big-time wideout from Jersey. But we're going to talk to Brandon Vogel about who the hell is going to play center for Nebraska football this spring and beyond. So we'll get there. Brandon Riley, standout wideout for Nebraska, had just a great junior year. You remember his catch against Michigan State. And I remember watching him in the preseason. And I know his first year out of Nebraska, he was on the practice squad for Buffalo. And then just got bit by the injury bug after that first preseason game as a Bill this last August. Spent some time with Detroit, spent some time with Dallas. He's back with Detroit. That was tweeted out by Brandon today, I think. So maybe late yesterday or today. So Brandon Riley's coming up in 15 minutes. We'll get his outlook on where he's at, why he's what he's weighing when it comes to pro football, the new league that's out there in Salt Lake. Does he stick it out and try and make an NFL roster? So we'll talk with him. We'll get his take, of course, on expensive Uber rides. You saw that story not long ago, about a year ago, with him having to get back after a bye week and Ubering from Chicago to Buffalo. I get the info. I'm going to get the info from Brandon Riley on just how that decision process played out, dude. So that is coming up. Can dial us up. Can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865 on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Let's start off with Tim Miles and the Tim Miles Show last night on the Husker Sports Network. If you were listening to our friends up at News Talk 900 in Columbus, Gus and the gang run Nebraska Sports up there as an affiliate. And you had just kind of the layout from bad to worse after you lose to Rutgers, where you had a snowstorm, which meant Nebraska had to bus to Philadelphia to fly back to Lincoln. And it was a 5:18 a.m. landing Tuesday after you lose to Rutgers. So Coach Miles had plenty of time to think over what had just happened on BTN Monday night. And Miles said last night, I didn't have them ready to play. And so there's some ownership. There's some accountability by the head man saying, I didn't have them ready to play. Practices were fine heading into Rutgers, but then something went wrong. And once Rutgers quit messing around and making mistakes, Nebraska wasn't able to score. And again, he reiterated that the right mind frame was the issue. So not only did Tim Miles kind of come out first and say, my job is to have them ready to play, the mindset wasn't there. Tim Miles also took calls. I didn't listen to any of the show last night. I was kind of binging on Boardwalk Empire. So that's my bad, but I'm getting the account here from the World Herald. And you had callers, and God bless Miles taking every former wannabe basketball coach and listening to the fans, taking the arrows or the compliments from the Nebraska basketball fan base. And you have a fan base with Nebraska basketball. I grew up with it. You know somebody, you are a Nebraska basketball fan. There is a lot of panic based on the history of Nebraska basketball that lives in your heart as a Nebraska basketball fan. You get spooked. You get skittish. You worry. You think worst case scenario. You morph into Cub or Cleveland Indian fan. You just do, because you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's not always positive, right? There's been fleeting moments of joy as a Nebraska basketball fan with the utmost hope that you'll have that breakthrough, and you've circled this year and this team as the breakthrough. Too big to fail, too good to fail, whatever you want to call it. So, with Coach Miles, he took calls. Callers gave him some advice on how the team should shoot. Some offensive sets. It's really no different than what we do. We cover the team. I think that's the difference. They pay to go. And also some compliments. Hey, Tim, you're a good recruiter. And also, hey, do you want to delegate some of your duties? So Coach Miles is confronting the issue, wanted to talk to the fans. The dude is open. He's a great personality. If the guy is not coaching next year for whatever reason, he is going to be insanely good as a TV analyst or a halftime guy. ESPN, Big Ten Network, Fox, whatever. He's really good with the media. So he's trying to get things worked out. This is the point that we need to talk about. He took ownership. He talked about mind frame. He took phone calls. He took arrows. And Nebraska fans, as frustrated as you are, you're on the horn with Tim Miles. I think you'll be respectful. You're not going to be a raving lunatic, a-hole, insult comic. You can do it on Twitter. You can do it on message boards. You can do it around the bar. I get it. But when it's face-to-face, you're not going to go off on the guy over the telephone. Maybe. So, I mean, there's a small percentage that would love to try it that aren't in the Miles camp. But for the most part, Tim took the phone calls. So he is figuring out how to motivate his team. He called them soft, and he called them casual. So here's what we got. On one hand, we have Tim Miles, my job's to get them ready to play. On the other hand, they're soft and they're casual. What have we been saying for 2 weeks of the ups and downs, the roller coaster of Nebraska basketball? We have talked about you're either coaching or letting it happen. So it's one thing for you, and it is your job to have them ready to play. But then to call them soft and casual, and he is not wrong, but to do that publicly, it's either going to work or it's grenade to the junk moment in Nebraska basketball. You've got Ohio State, who has now lost 6 in a row, if you're counting. You have Wisconsin. You have Illinois. You have Maryland. Money stretch here for Nebraska basketball. Not just to get over 500, but to get above to get over 500, but to get some quad one wins back under your belt. Maybe get that crop report trend up instead of down. Do you have a problem as a Nebraska basketball fan with Tim Miles calling his team soft, calling his team casual? Can join us 466-377-6800, 825-5865. We'll get more into this with some more of his comments as Nebraska and the coach and the team had a rough Monday to Tuesday, had his radio show last night, soft and casual. I'll say this, he ain't wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. We've been talking about this the whole week, and finally he kind of owns up to it, but at the same time, like you mentioned,
is it full ownership or is it a rental?
Exactly. It's like it's a big gamble by Miles here because they are soft and casual, but who's in charge of leading those guys to be soft and casual? I mean, obviously it's not all in Tim Miles' hand. It comes down to the players' accountability on the court, but you got to get them the motivation. You got to find a leader and be the leader for this team. So It's just going to be so interesting to see how this team responds because, you know, we don't know what's going on in that locker room. We don't know if they truly do love playing for Tim or if they're there because, you know, transfer players, they are a little bit more selfish because they are doing it just to get to that next step to the league. So that might not be their mission to be on a winning team. They just want to be winners themselves. So we'll see in that next game if they're really playing for each other and playing for Tim.
They got to play for each other. All right, that sounds awesome and sixth grade happy. Let's all hug and get a fruit slice. But you really, truly got to play for each other and care about the guy next to you. Or is it just kind of a byproduct? You're going to go get yours, get to the league, and along the journey here, we'll get to the NCAA tournament. Let's get to Gary real quick. Gary, thanks for hanging on. Welcome into Hail Varsity, bud.
Hey, well, first of all, to address what Danny just said, you have to be really, really good to get drafted and play for yourself and play mm-hmm. for the next level. And I don't see any of that kind of talent on the Nebraska basketball team. I mean, there's not really one player that can go out there and stand alone and be a superstar in the NBA. My question is, and Danny brought up a really good point, in that we don't know what goes on in the locker room. We don't know what's said. We don't know what the mindset is. But I don't know. Tim seems like a really honest person, and I think he's going to tell us. When he tells us something, it's what's really happening. And I think he was right in that he didn't get him coached. He didn't get him ready to play that game. But there still has to be an accountability from the players.
Mm-hmm. You've got to get that accountability, and what you can't be, Gary, and thanks for the phone call, bud, you can't be good cop, you can't be bad cop, you've got to be consistent cop.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pick your spots, yes, when to raise hell, and you got to pick your spots when to hug. I mean, you can't be nose to the grindstone, hard edge, you know, military slash yell leader from Full Metal Jacket 24/7, or you'll burn everybody out. But you got to know when to kick him in the backside and give him a hug. Perfect example of that's Coach McBride. He knew how to motivate, what buttons to push, and he cared about you because he got on you. Well, publicly, I'm just hoping that they've heard casual before, but from a soft standpoint, I hope that was relayed to them between landing Monday into Tuesday before Wednesday night on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and maybe they don't care. Maybe they know it. Maybe they've been challenged. There's a point, too, of Coach Miles in his show last night touching on that he's trying to get to a point where he doesn't have to threaten them every game. You're going to lose, and then the next step is you know, are you going to lose? Is it going to be that downward spiral with this team?
Well, right with that comment where he doesn't want to have to threaten them, that pretty much just tells the public that they don't have one single leader on that team who can do it themselves. And that's what a coach needs on every single team. So
it's
clearly,
nice to talk about, isn't it, having a leader?
Yeah.
You have somebody that has actions and words going mm-hmm. together. And let's talk about Glenn Watson here. He's different. He's the senior. He's been here from day one. He was an early recruit for Tim Miles. And Glenn's had great moments. Glenn's had a tough junior year. And this year he's been pretty good, but he's been more volume score when mm-hmm. he does score versus the efficiency side of things. He has been selfless. So in that instance, a guy that as early as his freshman year went for 30 and dominated some games, he has not been solely offensively focused his whole life. He's trying to do what's best for the team.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's leading by example. That said, you've had a habit since Tim Miles got here of bringing in the grad transfer. And the grad transfer is leaving a program for a better opportunity somewhere else. You need someone at a high level of talent. It's a talent infusion. You hope that everybody can fit together. Are you playing together and for one another, or are you here to get yours, get to the NBA, and if you win along the way, so be it? I mean, what is the team's goal here? What's the team's kind of heartbeat right now as a squad here that's returning everybody who is going to step up? I thought Cope's been vocal before.
He seems to be the guy on the court.
Sure, sure.
You know.
But guys listen to Cope?
Right.
If there's a game against a big-time program where he finishes with three rebounds. I mean, you got to go perform. And I'm not just picking on Cope. I'm just saying that, okay, dude, if you're going to talk it, you better walk it. And
right.
I don't know if they've got anybody on this roster
who does both consistently.
That they'll listen to, and that's out there game in, game out, just killing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Glenn, like you said, he leads by example, but just from a fan standpoint, it doesn't appear he's the most vocal guy on the court. It could be different in the locker room. Like I said, we don't know what's going on in there, but it just doesn't seem like he's the most vocal face-to-face kind of guy. But he leads more example, shows more grit and hustle than arguably anybody on that court. You could argue Tanner Borchardt as well. But he's not putting up the same kind of numbers. So, and then on the other end, you know, Copeland is the more vocal, but like you said, some nights he's just getting three rebounds. Some nights he's not putting up those numbers against those bigger programs. So you're not getting both sides of the spectrum with a certain player, even a couple players. So it's kind of tough to see who's at the top of this reign. And that's why Tim Miles feels like he has to threaten them every night. And that's why no coach wants to have to do that. And that's why a player needs to step up on every team every year.
You have kids. Eventually, you want them to get it and pick their room up themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all good with threatening Junior because I know eventually he's going to have a clean room. I have not punted on the threat point of things. You can't not threaten him and then all of a sudden become a hard ass. That doesn't work. Brandon Riley's next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Love catching up with this guy, and is doing things back in the NFL. Standout Husker and Lincoln Southwest Silverhawk, Brandon Riley, back with us. Brandon, how's your winter going, man?
It's going. I escaped the cold there for about a week when I was up in Dallas. But other than that, you know, I tend to go every cold place possible, I think.
You do. And I wanted to kind of get into kind of your season, how you were able to persevere, your perspective, and take us kind of through your journey if you could, because I was shocked, and I know a lot of Nebraska fans were kind of weirded out that as good as you performed for Buffalo, you didn't stick with them. You found your way to Detroit, and you found your way to Dallas, and now you're back in Detroit. How did you get through? How did you stay active mentally and physically waiting for that next call?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't, you know, the year I had planned, but, you know, I went through some, definitely some times of adversity, but, you know, when things really got tough, I just kept telling myself, you know, things could always be worse, could always be a lot worse, and so, you know, that's kind of the mindset I had, and I had to grind through some things, and, you know, ended up landing a couple places, and then ultimately, you know, decided to sign back with Detroit, but, you know, I was having a great training camp. And Buffalo, worked my way up. You know, I was running with the first team, and you know, the first series, the first preseason game, came across the middle, and you know, I broke my ribs. So that wasn't the ideal start to the preseason. And you know, initially, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know exactly what. And you know, I was like, it's the first game. I haven't made any plays yet. I just got to keep going. And, you know, next drive had like a 60-yard catch. They made a tackle on kickoff. And so, you know, I tried finishing the game, and after I was like, all right, we got to check this out. Like, something's wrong. And, you know, the X-ray didn't stand it. You know, it was a clean break. So, you know, I missed about a week and a half. Missed the second preseason game. Third preseason game, hardly played. You know, the fourth preseason game got in, had a couple catches. But, you know, ultimately, you know, Buffalo said, you know, it wasn't enough, and they thought, you know, that the rib injury could linger all year. So, you know, they let me go, and, you know, it was tough, but, you know, just got to keep moving forward. And, you know, so I rehabbed. Well, I mean, you can't do much for a broken rib, just basically time. So, you know, I just waited around at home, let it heal, and then, you know, I was off, had, you know, it seemed like a team workout every week. So flying all across the country doing these team workouts, and had a great workout with the Saints. They seemed very interested. Said they were planning to sign me. And the last route, I pulled my quad.
Mm.
So that was another just step backwards.
Brandon Riley's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So we're talking insult to some injuries, and you were extremely durable for most of your career at Nebraska. I know you had some hammy issues your senior year. Your junior year, you put up really, really good numbers. So you finished the game with a broken rib. You made that 70-yard catch and run. I think blew up that thing blew up Twitter, I remember. And and so you were playing, you were doing that with a broken rib. You're a hockey guy, so you're used to kind of bumps and bruises and things equal to or beyond football injuries as well. When it came to Dallas, take me through that process, because you want to talk about timing. It was a good week to be a Cowboy.
Yeah, so I finished up in Detroit the last 2 weeks, and, you know, they offered me a futures contract, but, you know, at that point I declined it because I was thinking about playing in that new Alliance of Football League. You know, Kenny Bell and Banderas and Hoppus and Pearson Nell and Terrell Newby are all on that Salt Lake, Utah team. So I was about to head out there and play with them, and then, you know, I was like 2 days away from going there, and then randomly my agent calls. He's like, hey, the Cowboys want to sign you to practice squad tomorrow. I'm like, well, that's weird. I did about 10 team workouts, and not one was with them. I've never talked to them. So, I mean, definitely couldn't turn down that opportunity. So, you know, I got out there and, you know, saw Brett Maher and Randy and Malik Collins, who I hadn't seen for a while. So that was good. And, you know, just being around, you know, that team, it was a fun week. And, you know, that same thing, they kind of offered me, you know, the futures, and, you know, I didn't sign it right then and kind of weighed my options. So I was still thinking about that Alliance League and, you know, just figured, you know, if I got a few futures contracts offers, you know, I'd probably be foolish to, you know, turn all those down and risk, you know, not having those offers, you know, when it comes down to it. And so, you know, weighed my options, and, you know, I felt I had the best opportunity in Detroit, and, you know, the GM reached out multiple times showing his interest, and, you know, that went a long way with me, and, you know, that's why I decided on Detroit.
What interaction have you had in Detroit? I know you were there for a little bit this year, and you've signed with them now. That's Patricia's squad, and it's a different feel in Detroit just based on what he's done with his time with Belichick, and now it's his own show, but it almost feels kind of like a replica of New England. I mean, that's kind of my view of it with the way they played. And what's the organization like? I mean, what kind of interests you? Obviously, it's a job in the NFL, so that's awesome. But just just the fit, right? The opportunity to move up like they did in Buffalo. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have two of their receivers are very, you know, high caliber guys who, you know, are for sure going to be there with Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay. And, you know, just talking with them, you know, they said, you know, it's kind of open opportunity, and, you know, they have a new offensive coordinator coming in and special teams coordinator. So, you know, I kind of feel if I came in on the even platform, and when I got there, one of the coaches was like, you know, this is a real grinded out place. And, you know, instantly I'm like, well, that's an advantage for me. It's kind of, you know, where I come from. And, you know, growing up in Nebraska, I feel that's how a lot of Nebraska guys are. You know, they're just going to grind it out and do what they have to. And, you know, that really stuck with me and weighed on my decision a lot.
Brandon Riley, a couple more minutes with us. Hail Varsity Radio. Can follow him on Twitter at BrandonRiley87. So I know this is in the past. I haven't talked to you since it happened, but break down this whole Uber trip for me, all right? I mean, seriously, what happened? And it was $700, right?
It was $650, and then, you know, I tipped the guy $250 because he had to drive all the way back to Chicago.
But, so what happened here? Break this road trip down.
So in Buffalo last year, we had the bye week, so, you know, I came home, obviously came to, you know, support Nebraska, the football team, you know, came back, and I had a flight Sunday back to Buffalo out of Omaha. I think it was at about like 2 or 3 connection in Chicago, and, you know, I kept getting delayed in Omaha for mechanical issues. Like, the weather was great, so, I mean, I didn't think anything of it, and it kept getting delayed, and then I checked my connection and started getting down to it. I was like, it's going to be close. Like, I don't know. So then it looked like I was going to make it get on the runway. We end up getting stuck on the runway in Chicago waiting for our gate to open. Finally get my phone on after we pull in, and, you know, I get notification the flight left. from Chicago to Buffalo, and there was no other options. There was no options into, like, Detroit or and nowhere close. I was trying to find any airport, and so it came down to either, you know, rent a car and, you know, drive all the way through the night or Uber. And, you know, my mom, obviously she didn't want me driving through the night, and I didn't want to do that. And so I looked on Uber, and, you know, it's never a good feeling when you submit an Uber and it doesn't show you the end price. It's just kind of a, well, here we go. I'm not sure. I mean, I had no idea. And so the first two people that, you know, I connected on Uber with, you know, I called them. I'm like, hey, do you see where I'm going? And they're instantly like, oh, well, I don't think I can do that. I'm like, you know, I understand. I don't blame you. So like, I'll give it one more shot. Did the same thing, called the guy. He's like, I just started driving. Let's do it. I'm like, all right. So he picked me up, and, you know, he made me feel a little better. He said he always drives at night, and he just started. So, you know, that made me feel a little better. Obviously, told my mom, and she's terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I told the guy, I was like, hey, whenever you feel tired, stop. I'll get you coffee, Red Bull, anything you need. And, you know, he was like, I'll put headphones in to listen to music so you could sleep. And, you know, I couldn't really sleep because, you know, I was nervous he was going to, you know, fall asleep. So end up, you know, pulling in to into Buffalo, into the facility at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, had a 7:30 team meeting followed by practice. And just kind of had to go through that day and then, you know, finally catch up on some sleep. But, you know, it was quite the adventure, that's for sure.
How many hours?
8.5.
Okay, so kind of like Lincoln to Denver type deal, but you're...
Yeah, with a complete stranger through the night. Really works on your social communication.
Right, so I mean, how do you strike up, or do you just kind of nod at each other and not talk? How did the feel-out process go?
Yeah, I mean, I feel I'm a pretty outgoing guy, so I just kind of broke the ice early. I was like, yeah, well, we're going to get to know each other pretty well here. So, and we just started talking like that, and, you know, about his family, my family, our interests, stuff like that. And, you know, it went very smooth, a lot smoother than, you know, I could ever expected. But, yeah, it was definitely one, you know, I hope I don't have to do again.
Brandon, thoughts on this Nebraska team? Did you have a chance to follow Coach Frost in his first season?
Oh, absolutely, you know, especially in the NFL. I mean, it's, people think, you know, if you're doing college, you people, you know, still care about their schools, and it's very competitive in the locker room amongst teams. So, you know, unfortunately for me, I wasn't, you know, with the team through the first part of the season, but, you know, I'll always be very passionate, and, you know, I'm definitely excited for where they're going. And I mean, I think everyone around here sees, you know, the direction the team's going under Scott Frost, and I'm very excited for this upcoming year. And, you know, Adrian, shoot, I mean, already in the Heisman talks for the next few years, so obviously if you got that caliber quarterback, I mean, you can go a long ways.
You got to be happy for Stan. I mean, it was a tough way to not finish the year bowl-wise, but Stan gave it everything, and he went out the first 1,000-yard receiver. You got to smile about that as a fellow receiver, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, things aren't great for the team, but, I mean, the team are, like, they look up to you, and, you know, you could see even, you know, games that he wasn't in, or you see if someone else scored. I mean, it was like Wyatt Missouri, somebody scored, and, you know, Stan's the first one on the field celebrating. You know, that's the kind of guy he is, and, you know, he's got a long future in football left ahead of him, and, you know, I couldn't be more proud. You know, he was, you know, the 1,000-yard mark.
Brandon Riley, and he's with the Detroit Lions now. Brandon, we'll get caught up again. Best to you in Detroit. Thanks for a few minutes with Hail Varsity, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me.
Good stuff from Brandon Riley, and the Uber story had to be retold. I'm excited about that. I want to tell you about Madonna Proactive. As a chance for you to get those fitness goals hit in 2019, the staff can tailor that program to your needs. 140 weekly group fitness classes, and we get signed up in January, $39 a month. For the first 6 months, just $29 for an associate member. Make time today, Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake, 402-420-0000.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on. on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, do you want to see this fight? We'll tell you who. We'll tell you the matchup in a minute. Chris Schmidt, great with you. Great to be with you here on Hail Varsity Radio. Danny Burke, Will Bauer, and we'll have Andy Markowski in 20 minutes. Get his take on Nebraska basketball, on Tim Miles, on the team, on Tyronn Lue. Andy was captain on those teams. Lue was on before Lue left for the league. We'll start off here with an announcement by Charles Njoku, wide out from Wayne Hills, New Jersey. It's between Nebraska. It's between UCLA. Greg Smith confirming that 6 o'clock Central tomorrow night, Charles Njoku will make his decision. So Njoku is a kid that was all in on Missouri, and then that changed. And now it's Nebraska, it's Frosty, it's Chip Kelly, it's UCLA. So you have Njoku, who visited Nebraska and then visited UCLA. UCLA was last weekend. Nebraska was 2 weekends ago. And I think Kelly's coming in tomorrow night, which doesn't sound awesome if the announcement is at 6 o'clock. Central tomorrow night. Walters is supposed to see him as well. We'll see. We'll see how this shakes out. Greg felt good. Greg Smith felt good that Njoku will find his way to Nebraska. So the thing you have here with Njoku at 6'5", schools have looked at him as a tight end. His brother is in the NFL, David, with the Cleveland Browns. Another older brother is at Miami. And Njoku's one of 9 kids.
Jeez.
And he's not talking to any of his family when it comes to his older brothers about where to go. So here's what I'd say. Chip Kelly, UCLA, La La Land. It looks and sounds fun. But if I look at what has happened at Central Florida, and I look at what Nebraska wants to and can do with the tight end spot, this is an easy decision. You have family that has decided to go away from home. You have one in the NFL. You have another that's down at the U. So distance ain't an issue. But central part of the United States is different from the West Coast part of the United States. So HailVarsity.com will have the lowdown, the rundown for you on this decision in Njoku and what's going to happen at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And we talked with Parker Gabriel. We'll talk with Brandon Vogel here coming up at 5:25 just on, you know, where's Nebraska at? 4 spots, 3 really open, 1 reserving probably for a grad transfer. We'll see what happens from a roster standpoint after spring. Although that's very real. But I just love Njoku's size, his speed, his ability. And he's a dude that, I mean, Nebraska, we just talked to Brandon Riley, right? And Nebraska went from like penthouse to outhouse with depth of talent at wide receiver. Think about 2014, 2015. Okay, you had Westy, you had Zoe, you had Riley, you had DeMornay. I mean, you had dudes that could play wide out, guys that are playing or trying to catch on professionally. They're that caliber. Okay, and you got Stan now that's big time. You still have Spielman here. But you've gone the JUCO route at wide receiver, and no one really kind of stepped up. There's guys, I mean, Mike Williams is nice. I think he'll have a good senior year. You have
McQuitty, right?
McQuitty's been here for a while, so it's time for him to try and stay healthy and get on the field, because I like McQuitty a lot, mm-hmm. size-wise. Yardley?
Yeah, and then he got Warner, too, if he's actually going to get more passes and blocking. So.
Well, but the thing is Cade can do both, and he's reliable.
He's a reliable. That's his main thing. He'll get the job done.
That's key, right? So you have some guys, but you had like NFL-level talent at wideout, and now you have guys that Nebraska went after major high-profile wide receivers on the recruiting front in 2015 and 2016. And it's not that they didn't get any wide receivers, but they didn't get their five stars they were in love with. So you are thin. You are thin at corner. You are thin at wideout because you went big game hunting. You didn't really take what you could get and develop. You tried to smash a home run. And Nebraska's feeling the effects of that here and now as they're trying to build depth and talent and competition at that wide receiver spot. That'd be a big get and a nice get for Njoku. Let's talk about the world of feuding. And this really popped up a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away with Jim Rome and Jim Everett. Maybe you've seen the footage. Some of you smile about it.
Chris Everett, right?
Well, that's what Jim called Jim. And it went sour, as in table flipping, and ESPN2 got great ratings in 1994. Well, you have Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman on First Take. Not a huge First Take. I think both guys are talented, and they're on a monster stage, so this isn't Lincoln, Nebraska, Mark at 176, thumbing his nose at guys that are on ESPN making $5 million a year. I'm just saying their yelling isn't my cup of tea. I like debate. I love getting after it. I like a strong barroom discussion or even argument on sports. It's wonderful. But yelling for the sake of yelling, put a gun in my mouth, and may or may not have a bullet in the chamber, okay? It's not something I need every morning. So Derek Carr is getting piled upon and was criticized by Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman. Here is Derek Carr's response on Wingo and Golic this morning. We'll have what Stephen A. had to say and respond with in a moment.
The part where he goes in, and again, people are talking about performance all the time. That stuff doesn't bother me. It's happened for 5 years now, plus if you care in college. So that stuff doesn't bother you at all. He said something where he questioned my desire and want to. This man has never talked to me in my entire life. This man has never worked out with me. He's never woke up early with me to study, to go and play hurt and all these kind of things. And so, you can say whatever you want about performance and all that. That's his job, and I understand that. But when you start talking about a man's character and want to and desire, that's just a different story. And I don't think there's anybody holding these guys accountable when they go off on those kind of tangents. And so I'm just someone that loves the truth.
Okay, so that's very fair. And here's a question you have to ask yourself. You can be human, too, and be a starting quarterback in the NFL and make millions of dollars. But when people question your character, that would tick you off. That would tick me off. It's something you don't want to take. You want to respond. I just don't know that you can give it the time of day, but instead maybe internalize and let it fuel you. So Carr went a step further and got into an exchange on Twitter with Dana White of Ultimate Fighting and said, let's get something rolling here in the octagon, and let's put Stephen A. v. Derek Carr, or let's put Max Kellerman versus Derek Carr.
Did you see the odds came out?
I saw it, and you tweeted it.
I liked it or something. So the favorite is Stephen A. Smith at minus 130.
Over Derek Carr?
Derek Carr just minus 110.
Man.
How about that?
We'll hear Stephen A.'s response. It's something you'll want to stick around for, even if you're not a Stephen A. fan. It's all right. We'll wind down hour one. Andy Markowski coming up. Brandon Vogel on the way. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Bloody Husker football talk coming up here at 525. Brandon Vogel, the state of the Husker basketball program. We started off the show. Tim Miles using the word soft in the Tim Miles show on the Husker Network last night. His team is soft. He also said it's my job to get the team ready. How does that grab you? I don't think he's wrong. How will his team respond is more what I'm interested in. We'll talk to Andy Markowski, Husker standout, former captain, about the state of the basketball program. You have the job security questions that are swirling just because of the way the team's been in a funk four of the last six. So we'll get some thoughts from Andy Markowski. We were talking here about the octagon, Derek Carr, the starting quarterback for Oakland, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, a media feud with a pro athlete. Pro athletes are supposed to be above it and go beyond it. If there is some BS, by all means, speak up and talk about it. I would like to have seen Derek Carr go on with Stephen A. and Max Kellerman this morning versus Wingo and Golic. here is Stephen A. Smith's response, and this all stems from what was said by Stephen A. Smith and Kellerman questioning Derek Carr's desire. You can question his performance. Derek Carr's response, don't question my desire. I really want to win. I'm giving my all. It hasn't gone the way I've wanted it to. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
First of all, he went on Golic and Wingo this morning. But on Twitter last night when he was going back and forth with Dana White, not only did he call us clowns, but he talked about us wanting us in the octagon. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. All right? That's what he tweeted. Then you go on Golic and Wingo this morning and suddenly you talking about your kids and how your kids could Google and watch and hear Max questioning your character. Well, last time I checked, Max, you brag about the fact that you got kids. Mm-hmm. We know I do. So my point is this. What do you think calling us clowns? I mean, you don't care about that. Well, we're supposed to care about it for you when you're performing in front of millions of people. So I don't want to hear anything about a sympathy card. You ain't getting one this way. All right. I will meet up with Derek Carr anytime, any day, anywhere to discuss what his career has been. Derek Carr said he loves facts. Let me give them to you. Derek Carr. Ranked 27th of 33 quarterbacks in the National Football League this year. Yeah. 48.9 QBR. All right. Passer rating ranked 18th out of 33. In his 5 years in the National Football League, four have been losing seasons. He's had one. He broke his fibula with an MVP. And I recall both Max and myself acknowledging this dude is in line to win MVP before he went down with that broken fibula. We acknowledge that. But since that moment in time, you haven't been that damn impressive. Pick six, interceptions, underthrown balls, throwing balls in the ground, needing 8 yards for a first down, throwing for 3 yards, making questionable decisions, starting off the season 1-8. Those are facts. Now, according to Derek Carr, he should love me because I just gave facts.
Fact. I need to see Stephen A. put to sleep, or I need to see Derek Carr put his money where his mouth is. Okay? Can we do this? Can we get this? Would you pay for it?
I think I would actually. This might be the one fight I'd pay for.
I would watch this, and it'd be the first time media and pro athletes came together and were cheering for the same side. One or the other. Those that are Team Derek, those that are Team Stephen A. or Team Kellerman. A pro athlete should not lose to a journalist.
No.
Ever.
I think he'd have to just retire at that point.
I think so as well. Eddie Markowski, former Husker standout and Husker man, he'll give us his thoughts on Nebraska. Tim Miles, where the program is at right now. Brandon Vogel coming up. Hour two next.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We bring in the Pride of Ord, Husker standout and the captain with Nebraska basketball. Andy Markowski is back with us. At Markowski, Andy is where you follow him on Twitter. Andy, how you been, man?
Doing well, Schmitty. I'm up in Spirit Lake, Iowa, where it's 1 degree, though, so I wish I was somewhere sunnier.
Well, I can give you sunnier. I can't give you much more warmth. but you're used to this time of year. You're used to the wonderful Santa Claus tribute red jumpsuits that you guys used to rock and stay warm in on the road. And Nebraska basketball, man, it's been a toxic week because you've got so much time between the Ohio State game Saturday and what happened Monday in Piscataway, New Jersey. Nebraska unable to hold a lead again. You've got a very reactionary fan base. Things are great when they win at Indiana, and the world's ending when you lose to Rutgers, and you got a nervous fan base here, and Nebraska basketball's got to get it pointed in the right direction. As you look through the Nebraska program right now, and you look at their record, people from Bracketology to Jay Billis to the talking heads that put out their crop report for the NCAA tournament, they all have Nebraska in the dance still, but there's this uneasy feeling that Nebraska could flame out. Kind of assess what is ailing Nebraska right now from your viewpoint?
Well, the first thing, it's a long season. I mean, they, you know, 20 conference games is eternity. So, you know, my recommendation to the fan base is to take a deep breath. You know, this could go, you know, a lot of different directions. You know, I've always felt, you know, this was an NCAA tournament team. You know, somebody that thought they could win the league. They weren't deep enough to do that, nor, you know, can you win the Big Ten without, you know, a traditional lineup. You know, playing small has you know, given us an advantage in certain games, and Michigan State, Minnesota, Maryland, where they have, you know, NBA caliber centers, you know, puts us at a disadvantage. The next four games, I think, are critical. You know, you have Wisconsin, Maryland, Ohio State this Saturday, then at Illinois. Yeah. These next four are probably going to tell us, you know, what direction the season plays out for. But, you know, it's like anything. They got to rebound. You got to finish close conference games. Every conference game is going to come down the last 4 minutes. They didn't do a good job of developing a bench early. You know, part of that was Harris went out with mono. You know, there are some things that maybe prevented, you know, Tim from playing some younger guys in the non-conference. And when you're going to play your starters 36, 37, 38 minutes, I don't know if that's the best recipe to finish strong. And they certainly look fatigued, not being able to rebound, not being able to get key stops late in games. You know, that's been the difference of the season. I mean, they've, you know, you win at Minnesota, at Maryland, nobody's complaining about, you know, losing, you know, at Rutgers. But, you know, when you start losing a bunch of close games, everything kind of compounds itself. And then you're in the spot that you're in. You're 3-4 and you know, forced to win, you know, Saturday against Ohio State to kind of right the ship and get that momentum back.
Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach Miles has spoken about his team. The word soft has been used. He didn't like their mindset. That was part of his post-game Monday. The term casual has been used, and you have sensitive kids. I'm not saying that Nebraska's kids are overly sensitive, but you have a demo right now that is sensitive to criticism. You can take it one of two ways. You can get better from it, or you can pout about it. Do you worry about that maybe having a negative effect? He's got to challenge these guys and get them flipped back around. Do you think he's going to be able to get them to recalibrate here?
You know, at that level, Chris, you know, when you make $3 million a year, there's a lot of really good coaches in the Big Ten, Big 12, you know, ACC, X's and O's, mm-hmm. players. You know, the great ones have a pulse of their team, and they know what they can can't do. You know, I've always been taught, you know, you only have so many bullets in your gun. You know, if you fire too many bullets, they start to tune you out. So, you know, I don't know how many bullets, you know, Tim has fired this year. You know, this is a bullet to publicly, you know, call them soft. You know, so you hope it's the right move because, you know, if it is, you know, I think he probably understands the urgency around, you know, having 3 out of 4 home games and then playing at Illinois. This stretch is immensely important. So, you know, well, time will tell. But, you know, I think what separates, you know, good to great coaches isn't, you know, the great out-of-bounds play that you diagrammed. It's truly making the right, you know, the right play at the right time over the course of a long season. And you know, Tim certainly calling your team out, you know, I've seen it work against you, and I've seen it galvanize a group and get them pointed in the right direction. So, you know, you hope that he has a, you know, a feel for what was the right move. You know, publicly coming after your team, I don't know if, you know, that is the best play, but you know, Tim's making a lot of money to make these decisions, and we'll find out if it was the right decision.
Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska basketball. If you were to kind of circle a 1, 2, and 3 with this team as to why they're not finishing, is it fatigue? Are they too tight? Are they too loose? I mean, there's three things I look at. With the casual comment and just, are they locked in or not? Are they laughing before ball games? Is that too loose? Coach Miles thinks so. Are they too tight? You saw they weren't really in rhythm against Penn State. They felt the pressure of that game needing to win it after dropping a ball game. And then you have this situation here where we just covered, you know, the commentary here. Kind of the fatigue part. I mean, where guys are logging 38 minutes, and that's cope. That's Palmer, and that's affecting Palmer's defense. Is fatigue the number one issue right here for this team?
You know, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, any one of those things. I mean, they're talented enough to go 10-10 in the league. You know, even though they've given some games away, and it's what they're going to want it to be. I truly believe Glenn Watson wants, you know, a great senior year. I think he wants to win. I think he wants to get to the tournament. You know, if Palmer's goals are in line with that, if Copeland's goals are in line with that, they'll right the ship and they'll do what they need to do to get to the tournament. You know, if they struggle and, you know, Palmer and Copeland, you know, have professional aspirations, it's easy to let your mind, you know, kind of wane and focus on your points and what you need to do to better position yourself to be a professional player. So I mean, fatigue, you know, not making shots, being too tight, being too loose. I mean, all that's an excuse. This group is talented enough to do what they need to do to get to the tournament. Once you get to the tournament, you know, anything can happen with matchups. So if they're still aligned and they want to win and they want to, you know, beat team first, they'll get there. But, you know, losing can sometimes splinter, you know, locker room, especially as guys start looking on the next chapter of their life. You know, so, you know, once again, I don't know what direction it'll go, but, you know, certainly, you know, if they lose, you know, at home to Wisconsin and Ohio State, you know, that concerns me because the negativity is just going to mount up, and sometimes it's easier just to relax and let the season go astray than it is to fight and get it back on the right track.
Andy, I want to ask you about the times that Coach Knee used some of his bullets with the group you were with, and you were on NCAA tournament teams. It wasn't always roses, but you guys were good, and you performed, and you got to the tournament. How did he play psychologist as well as enforcer with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Knee put a lot on us as leaders, you know, put a lot of, you know, pressure. You know, really my junior year, you know, kind of empowered us to be leaders, to rally the team. And then, you know, my senior, I felt, you know, Coach was under more pressure where when I read the Miles article, you know, Danny got a little bit more personal, you know, our senior year when things, you know, started going south. We didn't have a great non-conference season. We kind of righted the ship in conference where, you know, kind of the public, you know, where he, you know, basically challenged us that we're not going to be the team to get him fired. Like, you know, those are some of the conversations we had. I mean, it's, you know, so when Miles put that out there, it kind of took me back to my senior year where, you know, it got a little personal versus being the team first, or, you know, the, you know, he got defensive in terms of it wasn't him, it was more on us. But we rallied. I mean, we really, you know, we went 10-6 in the league. Unfortunately, we you know, we lost 3 or 4, which kept us out. But, you know, everybody has different motivational styles. But certainly when I read the article, it kind of took me back to my senior year a little bit, which, you know, I didn't particularly like, or that stood out to me 20 years later on kind of personalizing it and putting it on us versus, you know, we're all in this together type mindset.
Mm-hmm. Andy, there's been this week, and again, every time Nebraska falls short of expectations or the fear from the fan base, it's going to go sideways. There's the keep Miles, get rid of Miles narrative that is out there. You have his contract situation. It is what it is. It's a prove it year for him from his new athletic director, and I think that's very fair. So with this look at Nebraska here, I got to ask you about Ty Lue, because I'm asked about Ty Lue a lot. I know people that are close to Coach Lue, and Lue's been in the NBA for a reason. It's kind of my response to him. He enjoys the NBA, and he's done well in the NBA. What's your reaction and response when the word Ty Lue to Nebraska is murmured by a Nebraska basketball fan?
Well, I can see how it would come up, you know, with Tron being a alumni, being, you know, one of the, you know, two or three greatest players to have played for Nebraska basketball, being, you know, without a job right now, right? You can always link those people back to potential openings, which Nebraska is not open, but, you know, I get the, it's fun to have the conversation. You know, I don't know Teron well, certainly, you know, being a former teammate, still have, you know, kept in contact. I don't believe Lincoln, Nebraska, and coaching college basketball is what Teron wants to do with the next chapter of his life. You know, he's lived kind of an NBA, you know, lifestyle for 15 years here. You know, he's now at the Clippers. You know, so I'd be very surprised that Teron would have any interest in coming back to college, not, you know, not to mention Nebraska, but just any college job in general, just due to, you know, being an NBA guy, college game is still very different. Recruiting is different than it is in the NBA, where you, you know, you coach the guys that, that you have in your locker room. So I would, if I was a betting man, I'd bet against it, but I can see why people, you know, want to go down that pathway with him being from Nebraska and, you know, currently not unemployed, but not without a, you know, a head coaching job at the NBA level.
From a grind standpoint, I mean, you were on Coach Dockich's staff for a few years. You were in Division I coaching. What was that like, and what's it going to take at Nebraska? And Miles has gone to a tournament. He could go to another tournament. He was a fringe tournament, and you were part of the Nebraska era that went to 4 out of 5 tournaments. So you've seen the last coach, the current coach, to win here. What does it take to win at a consistent level? Because I think that's the frustration part is the lack of consistency based on the talent that you assume you have on paper for Miles in this program.
Yeah, well, you know, once again, I would take a step back and, you know, they've had a great year up to this point, and certainly the Big Ten having, you know, 9 or 10 NCAA tournament teams, they're going to have ample opportunity to play themselves, mm-hmm. you know, back up that seed line into the tournament or out of the tournament for that matter, because it is a tough league. So I would first challenge fans to, you know, to relax. I think, you know, I've always been told that over a 30-game season, you play below yourself 10 games, you play at your level 10 games, you play above yourself 10 games, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, unfortunately, at Rutgers, they played below themselves a little bit. So I still think there's a lot of season to play out here. You know, Nebraska needs to get to an NCAA tournament this year. You look at the talent, what they're losing. Is there a foundation for next season, the year to follow? You know, I would question, you know, what position the program's in from a roster talent standpoint. Now, a lot can change with transfers and graduate transfers. You can heal up in a hurry from you know, graduating, you know, talented players. But you know, my expectation is they get to a tournament. I do think this team is talented enough to win a tournament game, and in my eyes, that's, you know, good enough for Nebraska basketball. I understand the challenges around recruiting. You don't have a history. You know, it's not like we're, you know, deep rooted in success. So, I think you have to acknowledge having an NCAA tournament team, and if they can win a game this year, that's not easy to do. Only 32 teams out of 350 win an NCAA tournament game. So if Tim does that, I think that's a really great season. But yet, you know, I don't understand the backdrop of a new AD and the, you know, that person's vision for the program. I mean, there's always a lot of variables that go into why you keep a head coach, why you let a head coach go, and then from there, who are you going to get that, you know, you feel can do a better job? And those are all hard questions, and I think a lot's going to play out over the next 30 days to give Nebraska, you know, a better understanding of what the next step is. But I think this team will recoup. I like Glenn's leadership. I think Glenn, in the mentality, I think he's in a good spot. I think he's a leader, and I think people follow him. So I expect them to win 3 of the 4 next games, which will put them right back in position to be a, you know, an 8-11 seed where I think from a talent standpoint they're at.
Andy Markowski, Husker standout with us. Andy, thanks for a few minutes, bud.
All right, Schmitty, thank you.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
You know, I miss this guy. I'm excited to talk to him every week, and you can read him hot reads every morning with HailVarsity.com. It is Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. It's where you follow him. And I know Vogues has this Training Day soundtrack somewhere on vinyl. Is that true, Vogues? How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. I don't have that one on vinyl or compact disc. So now that you reminded me of it, it'd probably be a good one to have.
Right. I mean, that may have been the last hurrah for a CD run, was 2001.
Yeah, that feels about right. I was still deep into CD stage at that point, but I'm kind of old-fashioned in that regard, I guess.
You know what? I still got a Grateful Dead CD in my car. Once in a while, if I'm sick of my phone, I just flip it over to something Mike Babcock would approve of. Vogues, I love your story here on Nebraska at the center spot, part of your hot reads, an interesting spring ahead. We'll hit some offensive line here, and then I'm going to get some thoughts on Nebraska basketball from you as well. But how do you feel about the center spot for Nebraska moving forward? You've got good skill guys. You feel like you'll be able to have someone, Woodyard or somebody, step up at wideout aside from Spielman, right? And you have Robinson, all the hype associated with him, and then you've got your Duck R position candidates too that can catch. But that trench warfare is going to be so impactful for Nebraska. Touch on the candidates at center for Nebraska and how you see how are they stacking up right now as we were in winter conditioning.
Yeah, well, it's still a pretty big mystery. I'll be as curious about the center spot as I think anywhere on the offense here in the spring, and I don't even know if spring will be that good of a look. You know, I think Cam Jurgens is the key to that. You know, they moved him there for a reason, and it's certainly an intriguing one when you take somebody with his mix of size and athleticism. But you know, it's a totally new position for him, and he got injured basically right after they announced that change. So I don't know. You know, I haven't heard any updates on him on where he's at in his recovery. But you know, it'll be big for him. You know, the younger Farniak got a look there, I think, early in camp last year, although it seems to be he might be trending, you know, maybe towards guard. But we'll see. We'll see how serious things are for Nebraska at center. And the one I kind of wrote about today, the Wegener, the transfer from Iowa Western, pretty intriguing. You know, the quotes from his coaches were certainly eye-opening. He was ranked as the number one JUCO center, and Nebraska got him as a walk-up. He's coming back from a more serious injury and isn't going to be there in the spring either. So it'd be summer before he gets there. So I'd honestly be surprised if the coaches had a great feel on even who they think plays center. I think there's a lot to be settled there.
Who do you think was the last, I wouldn't even say great center? I mean, when you talk great centers in Nebraska, you have Remington, you have Dominic Raiola, Jake Young. And then there's your stratosphere, right? And then to be at Nebraska as a center, you got to be damn good. When was the last, like, really, really good center, you think, for Nebraska football?
It's hard to come up with one. You know, I think you've had some guys that got pretty close. But I think, you know, when I try to think back on recent centers at Nebraska, it's as much sort of the amount of shuffling Nebraska has had to or has chosen to do there that I think kind of indicates that you haven't had one where, you know, a guy, say, emerges as a sophomore and you're just set for the next three seasons. And I think that's what they're on the precipice here with Jurgens. If he can be what everybody thinks he can be, you might have that. You might finally have some solidarity or some, you know, solidity, I guess, at center. And if you've got that, you know, that guy's kind of the quarterback of the offensive line, and you can really elevate your level as a whole on the offensive line. You know, Nebraska's interesting on that front, and that I think, you know, their best group's juniors now. So they're looking at a chance if those guys, you know, we know Farniak and Hymus are pretty well established at that point, and you got Bo Wilson coming along, and then Brereton, you know, you've got a chance to develop a group, which I think is what you always want on the offensive line.
You do, and you put a group together, you get your best five, right, and then you get some guys that can get some snaps and some reps, so you reload. Can't forget Aaron Graham either. I mean, he was awesome.
Yeah.
And so it's a big-time spot at Nebraska. Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. hitting on some football here. How are you reading tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central in Huskerland, 7 o'clock Eastern time for one Charles Njoku, wide receiver from New Jersey? Do you have a gut one way or the other for where Nebraska and UCLA stand?
Yeah, you know, with UCLA getting the last visit and just kind of knowing a little bit about his story, I probably lean a little towards UCLA, though I'm far from the expert on those matters. You know, Greg probably has more info on that. And, you know, I know he thinks Nebraska's still right in it. So I think they'll have a chance. You know, a lot of these decisions have gone Nebraska's way, it seems, of late. So you can't rule them out. I mean, he's a really intriguing prospect. When I look at Nebraska's kind of short list for the remaining spots that they have, I think wide receiver, at least for me, ranks pretty high up there. And, you know, particularly when you're looking at a guy who's 6'5", it's a kind of receiver that they don't have a ton of on the roster right now, and they still don't have the numbers they'd want at that position overall. So getting a wide receiver here in these last couple of weeks would be big.
Did Nebraska aim too high with the last staff as far as what they tried to go get at wide receiver? Because the new staff comes in, man, and immediately they got to go JUCO because you just haven't – you haven't had much. I mean, you have Spielman and you have, of course, Stan. That was a four-year starter, I shouldn't say starter, but you know what I'm saying, four-year contributor, you know, three-year starter. Yeah. But, brother, you've really let the numbers dwindle at wideout and at cornerback. Is that because Nebraska tried to go too big versus finding bodies that were good but may not be a five-star?
It feels a little that way, you know, and I think partly due to the position coach, you know, at those spots in the Riley era. Nebraska was in a lot of those battles. They just didn't win enough of them to keep the numbers where you'd like them to be. You know, it'd be interesting to talk to Troy Walters about this, you know, but wide receiver seems like one of those spots where it's kind of harder at least to project a little bit. And I think if you can be good at that, you've really got a leg up, and it's kind of how you have to be at Nebraska, because you're not just going to, you know, show up at a five-star store and get an immediate yes most of the time. There's a ton of receivers out there. You know, their recruiting rankings, because they're so visible and they're easy to see, and it's easy to see a guy's athleticism, I think they might get inflated a little bit. So finding those three stars who can be really, really good college players, Stanley Morgan was one of them, J.D. Spielman looks like another, is key. And, you know, the interesting thing, they tried to address that receiver need as well as they could in the last class. And we didn't really see one of those guys fully emerge. And that's going to be key for this spring, too.
It will be. And do you have Woodyard step up? Is McQuitty finally going to make a move and stay healthy? Those are a couple of guys on my mind. That Mike Williams, I think, can be nice. You saw moments from him. Warner's been good. He's a tremendous possession guy. And then you've got your duck R position guys on top of the fact you have Miles Jones, you have Robinson coming in, and you still have Maurice Washington. You've got enough receivers to make hay, but what type of body types do you have? And you don't have that much differentiation.
No, you don't. And I think, like, I view things much the same that you do. And I think the guys like Miles Jones and Wandale Robinson, you know, almost have to become a big part of the receiving game based on what we know Nebraska has. That's why it'd be nice, you know. And Njoku certainly stands out in that regard. They don't have a ton of those guys. So you just kind of want all kinds of receivers. You know, having that big body guy would be a real nice add for Nebraska.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel. Vogels, we'll switch to Nebraska basketball. Had Jacob on yesterday, and we talked about what went wrong on Monday. What's your reaction to Tim Miles and his radio show? I know our affiliate, News Talk 900, has the Nebraska Sports Network, Husker Sports Network, and they had the Miles show on. And Miles said, I got to get him ready to play. Totally agree with that. He doesn't also want to be screaming at them all the time to, you know, pick it up. But he didn't have him ready. And he also said that you know, they were soft. They were soft and they were casual. I've heard casual, but I haven't heard soft before. I heard soft last night. Do you think this is going to motivate those guys, or do you think it could be problematic based on the fact that everyone's been piling on them this week and here's your coach publicly calling you soft on the radio last night?
I mean, I lean towards...
He's not wrong, by the way.
No, no, but you know, the thing that gives me pause with this team is they kind of haven't displayed the cohesiveness I think you would have liked to see. You know, yeah, we knew about all the talent returning, but all those guys had also played together for a couple of years at that point. And you kind of, you know, talent's great. But we've seen with Nebraska, you can't just roll the ball out there and expect their talent to win out in the Big Ten, particularly in this year. So you've got to have something else. And team strength, you know, kind of understanding, hey, this is why we're gonna win this game. And it's not just because, you know, we've got all of these great players. It's got to be about something more than that. And I haven't seen that all the time from them. So when you kind of throw out that challenge, it can motivate certain guys, but it can also kind of damage certain guys. And I think you have to worry about that with what we've seen from the team. You know, are they strong enough to handle that? And I don't know the answer to that at this point.
Well, I mean, here's the truth here about 30 seconds. This team's mental toughness has been questioned already, right? So the coach calling you soft, I mean, that's more of a challenge to your mentality, you know? I mean, you're already kind of getting kicked in the junk already here by the fan base for falling apart. Now here comes the coach. We'll see. Maybe they're hugging it out today at practice. I don't know. Vogues, we'll get caught up this weekend, man. Big one against Ohio State. Appreciate you jumping on.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
There he is, Brandon Vogel. Check out his thoughts and commentary on the Nebraska center spot. We will get Danny Burke's picks for tonight. There is some sort of wager out there that he may have a lock on. Great to be with you on a Thursday at Hale Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Okay, we'll get to some picks from one Danny Burke here coming up for tonight's action. When you're sweating out wagering for entertainment purposes only, you need to relax. It is time to find Deb the Spa Lady. And Deb, the temperature went from 31 to single digits to below chill winds, to below zero wind chill. But you've got a hot tub that can keep people warm, keep them snug, and keep them relaxed this time of year, don't you?
We sure do. And that's about right. That's probably about the only place you're going to get warmed up. And a lot of times people that work outside, especially, you're so cold when you get home, you never get warm. So you sit in your hot tub, even 10, 15, 20 minutes, and you just sleep like a baby that night. So, yeah, we make it happen. Our guys are out delivering. It doesn't stop us. When it's cold, it's snowy, it doesn't slow us down at all.
Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, off Industrial Road in Omaha, spasonline.com. It's time to go pick that hot tub out for your 2019. And Deb, you've got a selection of incredible choices for 2019, a few 2018 models that can save you some money. Give folks a rundown here of what options they have that can look great in their basement, their backyard, or their deck.
Well, we've got anything from the two-person. We've got a four-person. We've got a bunch of 7x7-foot six-person spas. We've got some 8x8s, and we've got a swim spa or two. Mm. So, really, we've got something, I think, for everybody.
So, did you go to the Chiefs game last Sunday?
I didn't, but I watched.
I know, and I'm not trying to sadden you out. I'm just saying you have a cheer-up mode for all those Kansas City fans that either went and froze or stayed home and watched. So it's time to kind of change that mood, and the spa can do
That's
it, is what
right.
I'm saying.
That is exactly right. I think if anybody, whether you know, because we did lose. That might have helped a little bit, just being able to hop into your own spa in your backyard and just say, aw, I'm relaxed.
And you probably have some of those Tom Brady spas, too, those that never retire.
I need to think of a comeback for that. I don't have one yet.
No,
I'll be ready next week.
I'm just saying. I love it. Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. SpasOnline.com off Industrial Road, Home Innovation Spas. When can folks come see you, Deb?
Well, we're open 10 to 6 Monday through Friday, 10 to 4 on Saturday. So come see us.
All right, Deb. We'll come see you. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Yeah, she's the biggest Chiefs fan in the world, and she's awesome. And you can imagine her heartache last Sunday night. Some of us were on the right side of that spread for a steak and a beer. Some of us weren't. Want to remind you about buckling up for safety, buckling up for self-preservation. When it comes to accidents, two things can stop you. The windshield or your safety belt. Seat belts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down. It applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Danny Burke, what's on the docket tonight with Danny's picks?
All right, so I guess we'll start in the NBA. This one I actually like a lot. Pelicans at Oklahoma City going against the Thunder. Anthony Davis is not playing. It was a high total. Around 233. It's moved down now a little bit, maybe a couple points, but I like the under in this game. I mean, the Pelicans will have to rely on Drew Holiday and Randall to really provide the scoring. So I'm going to take the under in that game. That's my best bet of the night. And now I want to get your takes on a couple in college basketball because we got a big Big Ten matchup in Iowa City. Iowa hosting Michigan State. Michigan State killed them in East Lansing earlier this season, but I was kind of a revamped
team. As they say, officer, a crime was committed.
Yeah, exactly. So Michigan State, 5-point favorite on the road. Who do you like?
Give me Iowa. Give me Iowa and the points.
That was my first reaction. Then I just dove in a little bit. Michigan State's been better against the spread, and I don't know.
Here's my question with Sparty. First,
they're still without Langford.
Okay, they don't have Langford. They've got the guy that... Aarons.
We said it wrong. We've been saying Aarons, and they pronounce it differently. But that guy is back.
Okay, he's back. You had kind of a come. You didn't have a great game, but you had a good enough name. A game from help me out. Their point guard had banned Carson's new best friend.
Cassius
Winston. I was going to say Jameis. I was wrong. from Winston. Winston was 14.7 assists against Maryland. Mm-hmm. They were great against Maryland. But their defense is what won it. Maryland only had 55 points.
Right.
They've survived almost death against Nebraska. Okay. So at one point, Sparty's gonna get bit. Okay.
Yeah.
And I look at how good Michigan's been, right? And then they get stung by Wisconsin, and then they narrowly escape last weekend. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they are hitting a bit of a wall. I think this is, I'm not saying Sparty's going to hit a wall, but I think I don't think they get out alive Iowa City tonight. I think at worst, Iowa covers. Iowa's playing good basketball. They found their offense. They can thank Nebraska. And Iowa's been on a run, man. Isn't Iowa like 6-2 in the league?
5-3 in the Big Ten, but yeah, as of late, they've been killing it. See, I was thinking the same thing as you. I mean, this is a revenge game, obviously, and they found themselves offensively, like you mentioned. But then, I don't know. I don't know if I can go against Michigan State. And
if you're getting Iowa at home with five?
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's going to be a close game, and I think Michigan State's going to win. The reason I think they make covers is just because of late-game free throws would be my guess.
Okay.
But then again, it could be a backdoor cover by Iowa. Regardless, I'll take Spartans covering five. And then another game, Louisville hosting NC State. This is going to be a good one.
Louisville's bit some people.
Louisville beat Michigan State earlier this year. Mm-hmm. 4-point favorite for Louisville. I think I'm going to take Louisville at home. NC State's ranked 21. They're a great team at home. Decent away, but Louisville's been killing it on home court too. So,
is Louisville allowed to go to postseason this year? Or was that last year they were banned?
Last year, yeah. I don't know about this. I mean, if they're ranking them, wouldn't you think that... I don't know. Maybe they would still do it regardless, but I think they should be okay.
No, I'm just asking. I mean, Louisville's beat some good teams this year. Didn't they destroy Carolina earlier this year? I think they. I think
yeah,
they
won at North Carolina.
Yeah, I think they
83-62.
Yeah, they just rocked.
North Carolina is very inconsistent this year.
Yeah, 5-point win at Seton Hall. That's pretty impressive. They lost by one at Indiana. I like your Louisville play. Kentucky worked them in Louisville. That was earlier in the year. But no, Louisville's an NCAA tournament team. It was an overtime win. That was a bad loss by Sparty.
Yeah.
Big-time loss. Let's talk real quick about Jay Bilas. He is projecting his 68. And he has Nebraska at number 22 right now.
Wow.
Yeah, he has Nebraska at 22 right now of his top 68. He loves the athleticism. He likes the makeup of the roster.
He sees the potential.
He sees the potential. He thinks that if they can rebound better, I assume he saw what happened Monday night and just said, oh, that'll happen. It's on the road.
In conference.
I don't know. I don't get that there's much sympathy out there for those that are criticizing Nebraska basketball right now. I think they've just seen enough of the inconsistency. But I like Tim Miles stepping up and taking phone calls last night and saying, it's my job to get him better. It is. We'll see how they respond to his critiques. We'll say goodbye on a Thursday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Got an email from Kent. Kent's a was one of our favorite listeners, and he likes Glenn Watson. He respects Glenn Watson. He's wondering about Glenn's leadership when you look at the losses for Nebraska. Statistically, you'll have double digits, you'll have assists, you'll have some rebounds, but what's the assist to turnover ratio like? And I think Kent's question here is, shouldn't you have more assists per game with the scores that are around him? I think that's very fair. I just wonder if Glenn, being the non-transfer senior on the roster right now that has started, can he get through to some of these guys that have transferred in and just get them all to play together? We talk about chemistry. These guys have been on the same team for 3 years together. Do they play well enough to be elite together? And they haven't been. And you've got two guys that have been kind of boom or bust, and that's Palmer and that's Roby. Roby is, when he's good, man, it makes things so much easier. When he's off, it's a domino effect. Same with Palmer. If he's volume scoring or taking questionable shots or letting that offensive misstep affect his defensive intensity. I mean, those are all problems that need to stop happening, at least for one Saturday. Reminder to you, we'll be out on the road, myself, Mark Kranak, from 7 to 9 at the Hale Varsity offices Saturday morning. And then from 9 to 10:30 in the public market down in the rail yard, just next to the ice skating rink, getting you ready for Nebraska, Ohio State, that tips off at 11. A reminder, your friends at Sauter Heyman, Rick and the gang, have a 1-carat diamond special right now. Sauter Heyman offering that spectacular 1-carat diamond solitaire for just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day. To show her how much she means to you, whether it's that very first ring or it's time to upgrade, the time now, limited time offer for that diamond solitaire 1-carat ring. $100 a month is all it costs. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln or out west. Go find Sauter Heyman in Grand Island. We are going to tease a quick question here. What is Danny's record? This is another email to Chris at HaleVarsity.com. What'd you do last night? You had Nova, right?
Well, I was trying to look at that. I know we had the Iowa, or no, not Iowa.
We both said stay the hell away from
Purdue. Yeah, the Purdue-Ohio State game, yeah. And I think we were just saying Ohio State would win, but we were like, we would stay away from that one, but we would think Ohio State would pull it out.
It was not an official declaration.
Right. And then we had Wisconsin-Illinois, and I'm trying to remember if I actually did do Illinois, because I was saying everyone was on it, and I can't remember
what
if
happened.
I pulled the trigger or not on it. Wisconsin won 72-60, and it was like a 4-point spread.
Okay.
I probably lost it,
so
I'll be honest.
You're saying 1-2 yesterday?
Probably. I had an NBA pick, though, a personal one that that hit. So, yeah.
All right. So it's
what about you?
You know, I think
were you on the opposite of – you had to have been on the opposite of me, so.
I think I definitely went 2-1 last night. We have a big announcement tomorrow. It's a sad announcement, but a big announcement tomorrow. This is kind of sad for some of us. Some of us are joyful that it's going to be warmer weather. So that is happening. Stay tuned at 4 o'clock. Big thanks to Brandon Vogel, newest Detroit Lion, Brandon Riley, and Husker standout, Andy Markowski. That is the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Big thanks, Will Bauer. I'm Chris Schmidt. Find the podcast, HailVarsity.com.